I was asked to answer in this class. The first question is this: how should we go about handling a demon possession if we are by ourselves? No pastor, etc. You need to run very fast. That's what you need to do. But actually, no, the word pastor itself is really not anything extraordinary. But when you and I are born again, we are God's prophet, a God prophet. We are God's priest. We are God's king. So every one of us should have the power to cast out evil spirit. But of course, it's according to your faith. If you someone possessed by evil spirit and then you get so scared, what should you do if you get so scared when someone possessed by evil spirit? What should you do? Yes, go and get help, right? You should not kneel down and pray. Why? Why do you think that is? Yes, when you are scared and you are prayed, evil spirit will jump into you. If you're filled with God's spirit, when someone is possessed by evil spirit, you can just cast it out just like that. But if you feel afraid, you feel scared, this means you don't need to kneel down and pray because God is not with you. Right? God is not with you. Because quite often, actually, one time, in that room right there, I don't know how many years ago, during NYTS, right? One of the sisters was possessed by evil spirit. So me and the other pastor, I think it was during dinner time or dinner prayer, we just sit down talking, and all of a sudden we heard this voice, like screeching voice, and all the sisters were praying, so scared. Right? We're so scared, and then we have to come to, hey, stop praying, right? Why? Because if you do that, the demon, the evil spirit will have a field day. Why? Because when you pray, when you're so scared, it will jump to you. It will jump to you. But if every day, I'm sure right now, after 2 weeks of prayer and after 2 weeks of repentance, after 2 weeks of reading God's word, anybody is possessed, God will give you the strength to cast it out. But the times that happen, when you feel that you're not filled with God's spirit, really, you must go and get someone. Of course, you can pray in your heart, but don't kneel down and close your eyes. Why? Because when you kneel down and close your eyes, you become more scared. You become more scared. And that's not good when you fight against evil spirit. And then, of course, the next question, any interesting stories? Right? Well, I'll tell you a couple of stories, actually. Right? Actually, since I came to know Jesus Christ, I experienced a lot of evil spirit, right? And every time I experience evil spirit, I'm always afraid. Why? Because evil spirit is very powerful compared to us. But when you are filled with God's spirit, evil spirit is also afraid of us. I remember one time I was in Africa and we were praying in the dark with about maybe 20, 25 people. And it's completely dark. As we pray, we lay hands on different people. And the minister said to me, that person has the evil spirit. I'm like, what person? I can't see anybody, right? And he's like, that person over there, right? And for me, of course, I'm in training. I'm trying to listen to see, because he's very sensitive. He can tell right away if a person has the evil spirit. So after prayer, and then he went to talk to her, and he's like, you have the evil spirit inside of you. And she's like, yes, yes, I have, right? And she's like, how long has it been bothering you? It's like, it's been bothering me for several years. And why? Because this woman, she was an adulterer. She's an adulterer. That's why the evil spirit lived inside of her. And then this one time, this lady, remember the story I told you about? The lady who walked like 7 hours to get baptized? Yes, she was possessed by evil spirit. So during that time, there's only two of us, and we're going to baptize her sister. Back then she's a truth seeker, but she's possessed by evil spirit. So I went into the water. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you, right? I went like this. Her body was like a board. She didn't move at all. Then, of course, the senior pastor at the shore is all laughing, right? Because he's looking at me, trying to put her down. Right? In the name of Jesus Christ, nowhere. I was there for like 20 minutes and had to pray. Pray, God, please, please. And finally, in the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you, right? She went into the water, came back out, and she was normal. Evil spirit was completely gone. And that's why we're wondering, that's why she can walk 7, 8 hours with no problem, right? But at the same time, the evil spirit also want, you know, for her not to walk to the baptismal site, because he knew that the minute she submerged or immersed into the water, he has to leave. Because now her body become the temple of God. So that's why we're talking about true baptism in our church. It's really true. Because I witnessed it many times. And even, you know, many times when I baptize a person, I remember actually in Seattle, we have to do some kind of emergency baptism. And during the time, the lake was pretty much all ice, right? It was so cold. It was so cold. During the time, I had like a bathrobe on and everything, right? And of course, brothers and sisters always experience, and even though it's cold water, it never feel cold. But when I went there, I mean, I was going to bite my tongue off. That's how cold it was, like that, right? And the little girl went in there. She had no problem. She walked in. She just feel like the water feels so good, right? And I say to God, God, you're very funny, right? You're very funny. And really, when I baptized her the other time, she just said she feel like the temperature was perfect of the water, even though ice is floating everywhere, right? But for me, I was frozen. After really 10 seconds, I couldn't feel half my body. That's how cold it was. But why? Because the baptism that we perform in true church is a true baptism. So evil spirit, when you think about the reason why when a person possessed by evil spirit, you feel fearful because you're not filled with God's spirit. No, when we go to Africa, when we walk, especially in Kenya, I mean in Ghana, what they call the Pandu district, there's a lot of voodoo there, right? Voodoo. And it's the origin of voodoo is from there, not in Jamaica, right? Because now we hear a lot in Jamaica, there's a lot of voodoo and stuff like that, right? But it's the origin is in Pando district in Ghana. So when you walk, you hear people screaming and yelling, right? Because they're all possessed by evil spirit. I remember one time we went to this newly built church. It's not finished yet. But there's a person sitting by this by the window, and she's going like this. She's going like that, right? Of course, when I walk in, I'm like, oh, let me step back a little bit. And then the pastor, the senior pastor, he walk in, right? And the minute he just looked at her, and she just ran away. And all the members were so amazed. Because that sister had been tormenting all the members there for months. During services, she just stayed there and do all the crazy stuff like that, right? But no one can cast the evil spirit out of her. But the minister just walked toward her, and she just ran like a crazy person, right? Ran out. But thank God he was with me, right? Thank God, right? But all the members were so amazed. So this means if someone possessed by evil spirit, if you get it, you feel the God's spirit, you will know it. You will be moved to say in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast it out, and it will go out. But if you don't feel moved, you feel all scared and stuff like that, you should run out, right? To find someone, right? And don't try to use your physical, right? If you're strong, stuff like that, don't try to hold on to the person. Is that it's not going to work because evil spirit is very powerful, okay? And then there's another question pertaining to Mark chapter 5. I will answer that later. I will answer that later, okay? And then there's another question. How do I explain to my friends why smoking marijuana is not Christian-like? When according to them, it has been proven to be non-gateway or non-toxic drug, so it would not hurt the temple of God, right? I mean, come on, right? I mean, I just Google on marijuana, right? Smoking, right? I share with you. Because when I was working before in the world, I worked with many youth actually who smoke marijuana, and you know, they talk backward. That's how stupid they are. Because they've been smoking for so long, right? I'll give you more example, but let me read this to you. Of course, you always can justify that AV drugs is good for you, right? I mean, there's always a positive side to AV drugs, right? But, I mean, just like you go to the movies, you always feel like, yeah, there's a good part in the movie and stuff like that, but 95% of the movie is junk, right? But you always can talk about the 5% that is good for you, right? Just like drugs, the same thing too, okay? Here, this is what it says. Let me read to you quickly, okay? This is according to study, right? Study. Okay, the immediate effects of taking marijuana include rapid heartbeat, lack of physical coordination, often followed by depression or sleeplessness, Some users suffer panic attack or anxiety. Okay? And let's go to, I don't want to read the whole thing, but you can Google yourself, right? Short-term effects for smoking marijuana. Sensory distortion, panic, anxiety, poor coordination of movement, lower reaction time. After the initial up, the user feels sleepy or depressed. Increased heartbeat and risk of heart attack. So this is the short-term effect. I remember one of the kids that I worked with, he was in a gang. And this kid, he is so fast. I mean, in the city of Lynn where I work, nobody can outrun him. That's how fast he is. And I mean, I tried to encourage him even go to Olympic and things like that, right? But the city that he lives in, it's not a good city, right? So he didn't have the opportunity. But he is so fast. So one day, him and his buddy in the front porch smoking marijuana. And the other rival gang came out and start shooting. And for him, because he's so fast, I mean, he just, you know, because he can outrun everybody, right? But it just happened, he smoked so much marijuana that day. When he tried to run, he couldn't move. He couldn't move. So pretty much the kid shot him right in the head and dead, right? He's dead. That's what marijuana can do to you. And during that time, of course, no one could believe that everybody outrun him because he was smoking too much pot. And that's what marijuana can do to you. And long-term effect also, reduce resistance to common illness, cold, bronchitis, suppression of the immune system, growth disorders, especially for Asian. You guys want to be tall? Don't smoke marijuana, right? We're already short enough already, right? Increase of abnormality structure cell in the body, reduction of male sex hormones. You want to have kids? Don't smoke marijuana. Rapid destruction of lungs, fibers, and lesions. Right? This is serious stuff. To the brain, injuries to the brain could be permanent. Reduce sexual capacity. Okay, I don't want to even add on that. Study difficulties, reduce ability to learn and retain information. This is so true. When I was in college, I was not a member yet, right? But my fraternity, we're known for a lot of potheads. Really, go through after 3 years of looking at those guys, after 3 years smoking pot, I can't even communicate with them anymore. Because they become so stupid, right? You talk to them, they're just like, yeah, man, whatever, man, like that. You cannot carry a common, you know, conversation with them. And I remember one time because I was, we were doing a pledging, right, with all the new pledges. So we were in New Hampshire, and it was like a great snowstorm. See, there's a lot of snow, you know, outside. So what we do is the trust fall from second story high, right? So you would just stand on the porch and just fall, right? And guess what? All those who try to catch those who are falling, they've all smoking pot. So why the person is falling, they even couldn't catch that person. Thank God the snow helped them, right? It got hurt really bad, right? Because from a second story building, the snow, I mean, yeah, doesn't really catch you that much, right? Why? Because they all like, yeah, they don't know what they're doing, right? And I smoked pot only once. That's New Year's Eve, and you know, and before Christ, of course, right? And I was depressed in that time because I don't know what happened, but I was very sad. So New Year's Eve before we went, I was in Boston, downtown Boston. So when a bunch of us, like 10 of us, we were smoking pot. And then, you know what, I did a lot of crazy stuff. So that time I went around and kicked every mailbox on Newberry Street, this famous street, because there's a lot of rich people there, so I was so angry. You know, because all the also snobby and stuff like that. So I went and kicked every mailbox as I run through, right? And then if you've been in Boston, they call, you know, the Commons, right? They have this hill from the State House, these hills. So during that time, for some reason, I thought it was a lot of snow on the ground. So I would die, right? Because all of us are high. Nobody knows what's going on, right? I just dive into the hill and try to go down stuff. Afterward, my chest, right? I have cut everywhere all over my chest because all the rocks and stuff pretty much go through my shirt, right? Things like that, right? And then not only that, it's funny, but I was on a State House step. Have you been to Boston, the State House on a hill? It's very huge. I was on a step preaching Jesus Christ. It's really ironic, right? But I really was preaching. I had my long coat on and everything, right? I'm talking about Jesus can save you, all that kind of stuff. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I was high, that's why, right? And that's pretty much the first time and the last time I smoked marijuana. And it's a guarantee it's not a good result. It's not a good result, right? And of course, also you get drowsiness and lack of motivation. This for sure, right? You know someone who smoke pot and stuff like that, they are so lazy, right? They just want to sit in their couch and eat potato chips, right? Because when you eat, when you smoke pot, you get so hungry, right? And you would eat everything, right? Right? I mean, all the fraternity brothers in my college all smoke pot, I know, right? And ability to understand things clearly. So actually, all these things, we can go on and on and on. Yeah, if you feel like, yeah, it's very positive for you, yeah, do it up. Really? Yeah, you know the information, right? Actually, they say that marijuana, actually, it will cause more harm than cigarette smokes. One joint will cause as harm as much as 5 cigarettes, right, to your brain cell. But of course, it's less addictive. Marijuana is less addictive. But long-term, it's quite bad, right? Long-term is quite bad. So if people say, yeah, this and that, right? And also the other question is that, is it okay to take marijuana for medical reason? Because now there's some states that they use marijuana for medical reason. Of course, it's depending on what kind of problems you have, right? Kind of problem you have. Just like any medications, the addiction is very real. If you can help it not to take any kind of medication, don't take it. Include marijuana. Right? Include marijuana. Because for me as a therapist back then, many of my clients, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I cannot prescribe medication, but a lot of my patients are addicted to medication. Even though their hair was falling off, even though, you know, they cannot sleep and sometimes they cannot eat, but they're still so addicted to this medication. And for me, really, for us, we are the chosen people of God. Any problems you and I have, we should go straight to God. But according to your faith, right? If some of you on depressant medication, stuff like that, don't stop because I say you should not take it right now. Go and talk to your doctor first, okay? Go and talk to your doctor first, right? Yes? Yes, actually, no, depression, right? Of course, there's a lot of things can cause a person to be depressed. So quite often a depressed person is less likely to kneel down and pray, right, or to read God's word because they are depressed. If they be able to read and pray, then they will no longer depressed. But of course, depression and sorrow and sadness are two different things, right? Because sometimes you and I feel sad. We feel, you know, this kind of emptiness inside of us. It's normal for everybody. But if that prolongs, then become a depression. But you and I should not be like that. None of us should be suicidal. None of us should feel this kind of deep void inside our heart for a long term. Why? Because Jesus is with us. What is there to be sad about, really? But quite often we are sad because we feel there's no hope in this world. Right? There's no hope. Why? Because we're not close to God. That's why we feel there's no hope. Think about yourself, right? Most of you are so healthy, right? Look at you guys, right? Healthy, energetic, right? You can sit here all day and listen to us. That's take a lot of energy, of course, thank God, the Holy Spirit, right? But there's no way that any other churches will do 2 weeks of seminar like this. It doesn't work. It does not work. Really? Think about this. What do you guys do every day? You pray and listen to God's word. That's it for 2 weeks. And then you can go outside and walk for 15 minutes, right? They allow you. But don't make too much noise. Don't make too much noise, right? Do you understand why? Because actually, you guys are healthy, praise and thank God. But also, the Holy Spirit also give you the strength too. Yes? Sorry, don't need to be sorry. Yeah, I mean, I really don't want to go into details, but some people, when they are born, right, sometimes they are born, they have the tendency, right, to be more depressed. And sometimes you do need medication to balance the chemical that's in your brain, right? The same thing if you have manic depressive disorder, you have bipolar, schizophrenia, all this kind of stuff, right? Because sometimes we are born with that, you know, we have the tendency to be more depressed than others. So maybe we do need, you know, medication, things like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some of you born, you just like to lie, right? You love to lie. And some people that are born, they don't like to lie, right? Even though they're not Christian, they don't want to lie. But even though you and I are Christians, sometimes we like to lie. Like my nephew, right? My nephew 7. Man, he's a pro at lying. When he's at 4 years old, he was a pro, right? Because he loves to lie and he knows how to do it so well, right? But sometimes we are born with kind of, you know, tendency to be like that. So it's good to use go get medical help and to see what's wrong with you. Because sometimes through different kind of x-ray and things like that, they can see, right? They can see what's wrong with you. Yeah, you can say something else? Yes. Yes, of course it helps. No. Really, any weaknesses that you and I have include different disorder. If we always continue to pray and read God's word, it will definitely help. Will definitely help. Yeah. That's for sure. For me, I have very bad anger issues. I mean, I have anger issues, right? But if you look at me now, you can't tell, right? I'm always smiling, you know? But actually, if I'm not careful, I still have anger issues, right? So that's why you need to pray, right? Whatever weakness you have, you need to pray. It doesn't matter what it is. The minute you don't pray, just like last week, I was in Austin, or the week before, I was in Austin. And my two nieces, they want to go to Chick-fil-A, right? They get breakfast. I'm like, okay. So we drove there. But I had my sandal and stuff on, right? So I was driving, but my sandal was getting stuck in the... Yeah, don't drive your sandal. It's not a good idea, right? I'd be getting stuck, you know, where I was sitting. And I come to a stop sign. But I had to stop very quickly. But the guy was coming out. He thought I was going to go through the stop sign, right? Then he got so upset. He gave me the finger. No, F you, this and that, right? And I was like, God bless you. You know, it's in my head, right? Because if it was an old booty, actually, I would have rammed him with my car. I would have fight him, you know? Especially when he see that my niece or girls in the car is all swearing, give me the finger, this, that. He did that for 5 minutes because I had to drive behind him, right? He keep doing this, doing that. And I was like, oh, it's okay. It's Sabbath. It's Saturday, Sabbath, you know? But thank God, you know, there's no way the old booty can do that. There's no way. Right? But thank God, God give me that kind of calmness inside my heart, right? So, why are we talking about this? It's not about marijuana. Yeah, so yeah, okay, medication, right? Really, medication, you do everything according to your own faith. Yes, brother? Yeah. I mean, for example, we baptize a little baby, right? They also cannot comprehend the word of God and stuff like that, right? But their faith, usually with their parents or their loved ones or their relatives, right? So the same thing with those who have mental disorder. If they are baptized, they also, you know, we rely our brothers and sisters to help them and also their family, right? That's why we baptize them, just like for a child, right? Just like for a child. Okay. Anything else? No more mental disorder? Okay, let's go to the next one. Next one. Okay, even though holidays like Easter are man-made, is it wrong to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The Bible does tell us to remember the Lord's death, but the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is a big deal in Christianity. Also, Thanksgiving is a man-made, worldly, but we celebrate it. I'm assuming because it's... purpose is to give thanks. Does the Bible say we shouldn't celebrate Jesus' resurrection? If not, why can't we celebrate Easter, Jesus' resurrection? Okay. First, whoever asked this question, you go to look up the origin of Easter. First, even though it's man-made, but what was the purpose? First, what is the animal that represents Easter? Bunny. Why is it bunny? What's that got to do with Jesus' resurrection, okay? A bunny. First, kids during Easter time, what would they go and find? eggs, right? Do bunny lay eggs? Do bunny lay eggs? I mean, not really. Do bunny lay eggs? No, bunny doesn't. Bunnies don't lay eggs, right? And why they use the bunny? For example, Playboy, right? They use also bunny, right? Playboys, right? Playboy's bunny, right? Why they use bunny? Yes, for reproduction. Actually, when they celebrate Easter, this god of estra, right? Estrogen, right? I don't want to go into it, but you Google it and you read all those things, right? Actually, the origin is that this goddess of Estra, that every single year, she would come down and give people babies, right? That's why there's a lot of eggs, right? There's a lot of eggs. And then, of course, people worship this Estra, right? For estrogen, the god of you know, fertility. So it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ's resurrection. Okay, if one day, for example, okay, we want to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, is that okay? Yes, fine. You can do it. Yeah, go ahead. Have fun. Right? But don't put the holiday of Easter for paganism, right, for about sexuality, about fertility and all that kind of stuff to be with my God resurrection. You understand? Okay? But Thanksgiving actually has, the origin of Thanksgiving has nothing to do with paganism. It's just the pilgrims, right? They just want to give thanks to the Indian for killing all of them. No, just kidding. But actually, the pilgrims, oh, they couldn't survive the winter, right? Because they do not know how. So, but the Indian helped them out, right? Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, actually, you know, of course, all these things are according to your faith, right? But of course, for me, if someone gave me something during Easter, say, I don't celebrate Easter, right? But of course, if you go there like about a month later, all the candy is on sale, you can buy it. Because there's nothing, right? It's just candy, right? Of course, try not to buy it shaped like, you know, like Easter, things like bunnies and stuff like that, right? But a lot of other candies you can buy for cheap money. Why not, right? Why not? But just let people know we don't celebrate it. That's the whole goal, right? That's the whole goal. Because when people think we celebrate Easter, and then, of course, it's not a Christian celebration, right? Christian celebration, okay? Just everything else also with, you know, Christmas and things like that too, right? Okay? I mean, yes. Yes, actually, Chinese New Year is also related to superstitions. And for me, I'm not Chinese, right? And I do seminars on not celebrating Chinese New Year, right? Because it has the same, you know, origin. That is what? It's the beast called Nian, right? Right? Because he come, what? Come to eat cattle and even little kids, right? But one day, this red thing, the kids was carrying something red, and all of a sudden it make sound, and then this Nian thing got scared, right? Then now, from then on, of course, they have red envelopes and firecrackers and things like that, right? So, yes? Yes, actually, if you want, for example, I mean, your grandparents, right, give you red envelopes, right? Why? Because they are superstitious, right? For luck and things like that. For us as Christians, there's no such thing as luck. So if they want to give you envelope, let them give you in a white envelope. You know, in Chinese, white, right? Yes, it's like death, right? So if you're not superstitious, give me money in a white envelope and you'll be fine, right? Well, this is true, right? Because it's all have to do with superstition, things like that. So the Bible tells us we cannot be superstitious. And Chinese New Year, there's a lot of things with superstitions, right? Of course, even though people celebrate differently in different countries, like in Cambodia, Vietnam, stuff, they all celebrate differently. But overall, it's all have to do with superstition. Superstition. Okay. 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 Okay, let's go to the Book of Mark. Oh, yes? Oh, a shooting firework is not, yeah, it's nothing. Yes, I mean, if you go out there on purpose, use red fireworks or firecrackers, and then I tell you to refrain from doing it, right? Right? But now there's a lot of different types of fireworks. It's not to scare the beasts away, right? Because it's different colors, like white and stuff like that. It's not going to scare them away, right? I don't think any Chinatown would use white firecrackers, right, to celebrate. There's no way they're going to do that, right? So, yeah. But once again, you know, brethren, everything we do according to our faith, right? For me, you know what? Even though, you know, maybe it's not 100% sure she will celebrate Valentine's Day or not, Christmas, Easter, you know, why take the chance to do it? Who cares, right? I have enough weaknesses I need to overcome already. Never mind all these other things, right? And I'm not sure with, right? Really, think about this. I mean, for me, because I came from a Greek Orthodox background, right? You know, during Christmas time, I have a lot of work to do. Why? Because my mother, she loved to put all the little dolls and stuff outside the house and do the lights and stuff like that. And I'm talking about like hundreds of items I need to put, right? So when I came to TJC, say no more celebration, oh, thank God. It would take me like a whole week to put all those things. And sometimes we have a snowstorm and then, you know, and then the snowman would fly to the next street and stuff. I need to go and get it, right? We have all these things. And plus, I have like 30 family members. You know Christmas, how much we spend? I remember one time we spent $2,000, right, on all our niece and nephew and that, and you give them like, it's not a good present, right? So we don't need to celebrate Christmas. Oh, thank God, really, thank God, right? So you have to look at a positive way, right? Really, don't spend any money and stuff like that, right? Okay, finish? Yes, brother. Oh, okay. I mean, can you guys go over that yourself? Right? What 8 commandments that David broke? Okay? Then you can tell me next class. Okay? Thank you, brother. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the book of Mark. Book of Mark. Let's go to chapter 2. Book of Mark, chapter 2. And again he entered Capernaum, it is in chapter 2, verse 1. After some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, verse 2. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, verse 3. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men, verse 4. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they laid down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So he actually, verse 1 to verse 4, verse 1 to verse 5, this is the teacher's, the intercession of prayer for others. So we can see during this time, our Lord Jesus Christ entered Capernaum, and then, of course, he went to a person's house, and immediately many people gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. You can see here, right, that every time Jesus went somewhere, his goal is to preach the gospel. His goal is now to heal, of a full miracles and signs. So this goal is also for you and I nowadays. When we go places, when we invite people to come to church, the first thing we share with them is the word of God, not the miracles and signs that's going on in our church. Why? Because if you share with them the miracle and sign before understanding God's word, and then if they don't experience the miracles and signs, then they will leave the church. Just as simple as that. But if their foundation is the word of God, and we share with them, you know, if God has mercy on us, God will, you know, if God is willing, he will heal us for our infirmity. But that's only after preaching the gospel to them, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. So during the time, many people came to him, And there's no place to even stand, not even at the door. Then verse 3. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Anyone ever carry a person who cannot walk before or paralyzed? Anyone ever carry? None of you? Huh? Yeah, I mean like crippled, right? They never walk and stuff before, right? Yes. How many people help you to carry that person? Oh, so your grandmother, right? So you just put on your shoulder and just walk. You're a pretty big guy, right? So you can do it, right? But actually, what I'm trying to say that actually, it took four men to carry this person. Why? Because a person who cannot walk is like dead weight, right? They're very heavy, very heavy. I remember one time in Pacifica Church, we had to baptize a brother who was in a wheelchair. And this brother is like 6 feet tall. He's like 200 pounds. 200 pounds. And we had to bring the wheelchair also into the water also, right? These four of us, including myself, it was so difficult. At first, no, because the pastor said, okay, bring him like 50 feet away from the shore, right? Because make sure when we dip him, his head doesn't hit the rock, right? We need to have enough water. So when we walking out there, after like 15 feet, we couldn't do it anymore. That's how heavy he was. The wheelchair itself was like 30 pounds, right? So for him, because he's like dead weight, right? No life inside of him. Then it became so heavy, but we just say we had to baptize him here at 15 feet, you know, away, right? And praise and thank God, everything went well. But what we're saying that when we pray for other people, especially when they are paralyzed in their faith, especially when their faith go nowhere, right? Even though you talk to them many times, and many people pray for them, but it's still exactly the same. But we need to have faith. We continue to pray, just like these four men. First, what was the first obstacle they encountered? What was the first obstacle they encounter? The crowd, right? The crowd. They couldn't even go near, right? They couldn't even go near to the house because the crowd. So when you and I pray for others, many of us, the reason why, you know, we cannot be close to Lucius Christ because the crowd is in our way. The crowd could be many things, right? Some of your crowd is what? Maybe video games, right? Maybe some of your crowd is school. Maybe some of your crowd is hatred, but it doesn't matter what it is. We must overcome that crowd by finding a different way to get to our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just give up, because the crowd is always going to be there no matter what. So here, and then the first was the crowd. And then what did they do? What did they do? They went to the roof. You think that was easy to go to the roof with a person? It's not easy at all. I cannot picture how they do it, right? Of course, they say they load him down and things like that, right? But really, think about it. We don't know how big this guy is, but whatever it is, it's very difficult to bring him to the roof. So when they brought him to the roof, knowing that it's a roof, there's no way to put him down, right? But they still went up to the roof. So in other words, they have such faith to bring this person, knowing that Jesus Christ will heal them. So when you and I pray for others, this is the kind of faith we also need to have. Especially when we see that our brothers and sisters, they are struggling in their lives. They are weak in their faith. It seems like that they want to leave church already. You and I must pray with great faith so God can move their hearts. So here they went to the roof, and what did they do with the roof? They broke it, right? So they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through. You know, there's one person you never consider. What one person you never consider in this story? The house owner, right? The house owner. He's like, hey, what are you doing, man? What are you doing with my roof? Well, we never consider, but you know what? The owner also didn't say anything. You know, sometimes when you want to invite, you know, especially a homeless person to come to service at a house, many people feel really uncomfortable, right? Because we don't know this homeless person, what they're going to do to your house and this and that, right? Maybe they come after to rob and things like that. We have all these things going through our minds, right? But of course, it's good to be cautious. It's good to be cautious. Whoever invite that homeless person to your house, they must know at least this person a little bit, right? Because you also feel like, hey, what happened is homeless person steals stuff from your house and this and that. All these things, but you know what? You also, you must do with faith. If you bring them to your house because you want to preach the gospel to them, Jesus Christ will protect your house. And he's the best alarm system ever, right? Don't worry, Jesus Christ will protect it. But of course, we must do our diligence at the same time too, okay? So here, they have broken the roof, broken it through, but the owner of the house did not say anything. Because they see that actually this man really need to be healed. Then they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. So of course he was on his bed and they just let it down. And this is, you know, took a lot of faith. I mean, how would they know Jesus is going to heal him? Because Jesus did not say yes to the healing, but they knew that Jesus is full of love and full of mercy. And the same thing for us when we pray for others. This is the kind of mentality that you and I need to have. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is full of love. He is full of compassion. When you and I have the faith to pray for other people, you must know that Jesus Christ will heal them. But of course, if a person that you're praying for, they continue to do exactly the same thing over and over again and continue to sin over and over again, then we have to consider, right? We have to consider. Should we pray for this person or not? Because if the person themselves did not want to repent, and I'm sure this paralytic, you think he wants to be healed? Yes, of course he wants to be healed, right? Just like when you talk to some brother and sister, they have sinned against God, and they really want for God to forgive for their sin. And you can tell. That's the time you pray for them with faith, and God will heal them. God will forgive them, because God is a loving God. And then, as they lay the paralytic down, then verse 5, when Jesus saw that their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Here, the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ healed the paralytic man, not because of his faith. Why? Because he's paralytic, he cannot move, he cannot do anything. So he cannot go there to be healed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like some of brother and sister, when they, you know, they are so weak to the point. Like we talked about a person who's depressed. When a person is so depressed, they cannot read the word of God. They cannot pray to God. They cannot go to service. That's why they're depressed. If they can read the word of God all the time, if they can pray to God all the time, they wouldn't be that depressed. But that's why we have brothers and sisters. You and I really must, you know, reach out our hands to pray for this kind of brothers and sisters. I remember one sister, she's during Sabbath service, she looked at this other sister. This other sister doesn't seem like she's doing too well. But she didn't want to make a big deal out of it. So she asked her, "Oh, why don't you come to my house? You know, we can have a fellowship, just come over." And then, of course, that sister who looked depressed, she's a little bit reluctant to go. But then the sister, "Come on, let's go. You know, you have nothing else to do, right?" But then she went. Then several days later, that sister who was depressed shared with this other sister. She said, "Thank you so much for inviting me to your house, because that day my plan is after service, go home and kill myself." That's what she said. She's going to go and kill herself. But because this sister saw her and looked at her that she's not doing well, she just make it, you know, "Hey, just come over." But asking her to come over the house, it broke her routine and her mind of killing herself. And really, thank God. That's why when you go to church, don't just worry about ourselves. You look at brothers and sisters. Right? Maybe someone is down and out. We go there and say hi, hello to them, right? We don't need to be so nosy, right? You don't need to go and ask them, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on with your life?" and all this kind of thing. We don't need to do that, right? Just say hello, right? Especially a lot of you smile a lot, right? You're very gentle, very kind. When you say hello, they just bring their smile to their face, right? That's all you need to do, really. You don't need to talk much. If you say hello to someone, actually, especially when you are sincere about it, they would be very joyful, right? They'd be very joyful. So So that's why for us, you know, let's look beyond ourselves. Right? Let's look beyond ourselves. When we go to church, when we hang out with brother and sister, do not always be the one that give, right? That's why, you know, what, the leeches have two daughters, right? What's their name? Gives and give, right? Because the leeches just suck your blood, right? And we know sometimes our brother and sister, you talk to them, that's all they do is suck your blood, right? Like, oh man, when are they going to finish talking, right? Because they're never willing to give, right? Because they always strain you, right? They're always sucking your blood. But if you have a lot of blood, do it. Really. If you be able to handle that kind of talk and stuff like that, it's fine. Why? Because they need your help, right? They need your help. And sometimes, you know, they want you to listen to them. Even though they don't even give you a chance to talk and stuff like that, it's okay. It's okay. But make sure you don't get frustrated, right? Because if you don't have too much blood yourself and they suck your blood dry, then you become dead yourself, right? You become very frustrated. You talk bad about this person, this and that, right? So make sure you know yourself well. But look at verse 6. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone, right? You can see, right, the scribes, right? The scribes, they know the Bible just like the back of their hands. So they know that no one can forgive sin except for God alone. So they should conclude what? That Jesus is God, you understand? If they know the Bible so well, they understand that, look, no one can forgive sin except for God. And then you look at Jesus Christ, he forgave this person. Then you should say, he is God. But instead, no. Right? Instead, they didn't say that. And then, look at verse 8. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, right? This one characteristic about Jesus, right, that is really awesome, right? Whatever you think in your head and in your mind, he's like the professor, right, in X-Men. He can read your mind, right? Right? No, really, a lot of time when people think, if you are filled with God's Spirit, when you talk to a person, you also can really tell what's going on in their head. Really. Why? Because when you are sincere about something, when people say something, you really can understand them and know them really well. You can just tell. Why? Because the Spirit of God will move you, right, to know the deep things. Especially when it comes to people. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, the scribe reasoned among themselves. That's it. Reason among themselves. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew, like many other times, he also knew, right, what they say. And here, then he said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Verse 10. So which one is easier? Huh? What's that? Both of them are not easy, right? Yes, we say? Equally impossible, right, with men. And it's true, right? But if you were going to grade it, to forgive someone's sin is impossible, right? Maybe to heal someone, maybe it's a little bit possibility, right? If you're a great physician and you go there and you find something wrong, right, you could heal, right? May, I'm talking about just me. But to forgive someone for their sin, there's no way. You're born in sin, you're going to be like that the rest of your life. You're always in sin. And that's why Jesus Christ said, look, which is easier, right? Of course, both of them are not easy at all. And human is impossible. Then verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, right? To forgive sin. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Go to your house. Can you imagine this, right? And verse 12. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Not only our Lord Jesus Christ is able to forgive sin, but also to heal this man who's been paralyzed maybe since birth.
That is the power, right? The power.
But you can see, did our Lord Jesus Christ forgive his sin first? Or he healed him first? He forgave the sin first. So actually, this phenomena also happened in a church. Quite often, when true seed come to a church, though when they are baptized, this means Jesus Christ has forgiven them for their sin. And afterward, miracles and signs will happen. After miracles and signs will follow. Just like here. Why? Because it's so much more difficult to forgive sin. Because this takes the blood of God to cleanse your sin away. So that's why when people come to our church, you and I must stress on salvation. Don't stress on miracles and signs. But if miracles and signs, according to God's grace and mercy, it's fine. But we cannot sell miracles and signs before preaching the gospel of salvation. We must remember this. You can see what's wrong with the scribe. What's wrong with the scribe? What was in his mind, you think? What does the scribe lack? That's a question, right? What's that? Okay, he lacked faith. Okay, true. Love, yes, he lacked love, right? Because look, if someone been paralyzed for so many years, right? Then all of a sudden they begin to walk. Then you feel so joyful and happy for them. But no, what does he focus on? That our Lord Jesus Christ saved, he forgave him for his sin. That's what he focused on. So that's why, actually, for you and I, we also need to learn this too, right? No, for me, when I first became a minister, I really feel that I lack of love. I really don't understand how much God loves you and I until I went to Hawaii, right? Hawaii is just so unique, right? Hawaii, this one brother, he has a tall mohawk, right? And he's at one time he used to be wakeboard, right? But they call it, it is a wakeboard, right? He was second in the whole world one time, right? So when he comes in, he had this long mohawk, right, like this, and his hair is all red, right? Then me and our pastor look at him like, how do we gonna lay a hand on this brother? So how do we, I'm laying hands on him, we gotta go to the side, right, like this. So his mohawk will stick like that. But actually, when we look at all the brothers and sisters, really like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, a lot of them, they are lost. My dear, they are lost. But God shows so much mercy upon them. You know the song that you guys sing, Heaven Came Down? Right? You guys sing there in the choir. That is Hawaiian song. Because one day, they haven't received Holy Spirit for years. And one day, I think the other time, during Pastor Huang time, like 20-something people received the Holy Spirit. Heaven really came down on them. And that's the time they came back, you know, they really see us come back to the GA and things like that, right? But when I go there, really, because there's a lot of sisters who marry Gentiles also. And they suffer a lot, right? And they celebrate Christmas, Halloween, all that kind of stuff before, right? And then when we start to go there, we try to educate them, this and that. But you can see, God really loved them so much. Why? Because they did all these things. Why? Because they have no shepherd to guide them. They were ignorant, right, of doing all these things. But now it's very different. Now that they know the truth, when they do something wrong, God's judgment also will be upon them, right? But that's why for us, first, try your best not to sin against God. That is the number one rule. But if you sin against God, what is the second best thing to do? You must repent. Never give hope. Never lose hope on repenting. This is very important. Really, all of us make mistakes. But some mistakes are bigger than others. But no matter what, try our best not to make mistakes in the first place. But if we have made a mistake, we must repent. We cry and cry and cry. Because the minute you and I don't repent, there's no more hope. for salvation. So don't forget to do that. So that's why for the scribe, they have no love, right? They have no love. Because of this, they look at things from a very legalistic point of view. And sometimes people say exactly the same thing about our church. Why are we so legalistic? Why we need a person need to be baptized to be saved? Why they need to receive the Holy Spirit to be saved? Is baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, is that legalistic? What do you guys think? No. What is baptism and what is Holy Spirit? What has to do with what? Huh? Yes, it has to do with salvation. It has to do with salvation because we are not the one to say you must be born again of water and spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the one to say that, not us. So that's why, I mean, you know, you guys know Mother Teresa, right? Mother Teresa, she won a Nobel Prize Peace, and she worked many years with orphans, an orphanage. You know, in her bio, right, the thing that she wrote, you know what the thing that surprised people the most? What did she write that surprised people the most? Anybody know? Yes, ma'am?
Yes.
Says all these years of servitude, serving, you know, the orphans and orphanage and serving God, she never once feel God in her life. Can you imagine that? That is very sad, right? Very sad. So that's why, yes, there's many people out there, right? Yes, I prophesy in your name. I cast out demons in your name. Perform miracles and signs in your name. But you know what? You do not do my will. It's equal to lawlessness. That's why, what is God's will? Baptism. Receiving Holy Spirit, foot washing, Holy Communion, all these things, that is God's will. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, I will give you the what? To the heavenly kingdom, to the what? How many keys? One key, two keys? Huh? One, two, how many? Jack, you say one? Jack say one. Anybody want to follow Jack? Any Jill here? No, just kidding. How many? How many keys? No, look at this, right? Let's go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. Chapter what? Anybody can find? Free dessert. Anybody can find? Matthew chapter 16. 16 brothers. Come on, brothers. Don't let sister beat you. Chapter 16, verse what? Verse 19, right? Verse 19. 16, 19. And I will give you the keys. Keys, right? One key or two keys? It's plural, right? More than one. What do you think these keys? Okay. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. These keys. What do you think these keys are? Do you have the keys? You guys have the keys? What's those keys?
Yes. Baptism.
You understand? Holy Spirit. Foot washing. Holy Communion. Sabbath. These are all the keys to enter the heavenly kingdom. Actually, this heavenly kingdom is the church. The heavenly kingdom is the church. So that's why for us, really, if you and I don't study the Bible too well, then we just feel like our church is so ordinary, just like any other churches, but it's maybe even worse, right? Really study your basic beliefs. Study the basic doctrine, and you'll realize how awesome this church is. Why? Because God revealed the true way of salvation. Just like these keys. That's why when a person come to us, they want to be baptized. Their life is in our hands, right? Life and death in our hands. If the church decide to baptize them, then they are loose. Then they are safe. If the church decide not to, the church has the authority to say yes and to say no. This is how awesome we are, right? This is how great we are. Not because of ourselves, because God has given us the keys to the heavenly kingdom. You know, quite often, you know, when we want to invite people to church and stuff like that, sometimes we pay them to come to church, right? I'll pay for your gas, you can come to church, right? I'll go pick you up when you come to church. Actually, it's not necessary. We don't beg people to come to our church. This is the heavenly kingdom. This is Mount Zion. No, when I first got invited to come to Choose Your Church, I was so excited. Right. I was so excited. And I was thinking about getting baptized, and I would say to myself, I would die if the church did not want to baptize me. That's what I say to myself. Now we could ask people want to be baptized. You're going to be baptized? You want to be baptized, right? For us. You know, for me, it's like this. You know, sometimes you go to a Chinese supermarket, and you take the numbers, right? Especially at the fish area. You're always waiting for your turn, right? This is what's going to be like in our church. Many people will come to our church. It'd be packed all the time. And we hope that you guys are still around, right? And I hope I'm still around too. But you guys are the future pillars of our church. You must be proud of who we are. Know that we are the chosen people of God. Know that we worship the true and living God. Proclaim it throughout the mountains, right? Proclaim it everywhere. We don't need to beg people to come to our church, really. Yes, we sow and we water, but God gives the increase. And that's the kind of faith you and I need to have. But make sure you and I sow. Make sure you and I water. This church is not for beggars. This church for those who are sons of God. So don't make ourselves be so pitiful, right? Really, sometimes we're so pitiful. Actually, we're not pitiful. We're not pitiful. Even though it seems like that, but spiritually, we are sons of God. And always remember this. But you must have faith. God hasn't given us the keys to the heavenly kingdom. And use it wisely. But make sure we know. Really know how to use the keys. Because keys, if you make keys, if you go to Home Depot sometime, right? Go to Home Depot and make keys, and I come back to the house, whatever, it doesn't work, right? Because they are very bad. I mean, they have their own machine, automatic machine still. Even a little bit, you know, they cut a little bit wrong. Tiny, tiny bit, you cannot open the door. The same thing, these keys that have in the kingdom. If you go astray a little bit, that key will not be useful to enter the door to the heavenly kingdom. So remember that. Stay faithful to what you've been taught. And remember it. Because you and I will be the one that duplicating keys to all the other people who want to enter the heavenly kingdom. Make sure you and I must become the master of making those keys. Make sure we don't make mistakes and thinking, I have the right keys. And then you give to other people, you think they have the right keys. In the end, that key doesn't open the heavenly kingdom. Then woe to us, right? Woe to us. So praise and thank God for our class. And let's bow our head and pray in silence.